Right, we're recording.
Okay. Call to order, regular meeting and public hearing in North Bend Planning Commission Thursday, December 11th, 2014, at City Hall. And welcome, everybody. It's fantastic to see this many folks turning out for a planning commission meeting. We've got a long process tonight, looking at predominantly one topic, land use and zoning. We do have some preliminary things that we're going to go through, so I'm going to kind of give you an overview, and then we'll kind of start walking through the process. So if you'll bear with us. If you're coming in, we do understand, apologize, we're a little cramped tonight. There is a sign-up sheet in the back if you're wanting to speak. When we get through all everyone who's signed up to speak, we'll also see if there's anyone else we missed. But if you specifically wanted to speak, we'll do that. Overview is we'll take care of a couple of administrative matters first off. Then we'll take public comment on non-agenda items, meaning other than the primary agenda item of the night, which is the public hearing on the comprehensive plan and zoning. Then following the public hearing, the Planning Commission will go into deliberation on that same topic. Possible action tonight, that will be up to the Planning Commission members to decide. I want to remind the audience that our role in this process is to look at items that are developed at the direction of council along with a lot of public input and make a recommendation to the council. So any action that we take will then go for them for their consideration, and in this regard there would be another public hearing at the City Council as well. So there's always another opportunity for your input. So pre-hearing items. First off on the agenda is minutes from the November 13th meeting. Mike, do you have something for us here?
No, those will be provided at your next meeting.
Okay, so we're done there. All right, public comment on non-agenda items. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Travis?
Hi, welcome, Planning Commission. And
you are?
And public. I'm Travis Bridgman. I reside here in North Bend at 713 Ogle Avenue Northeast, right here in Silver Creek on the Flatlands. And I'd just like to participate. I'm pretty overwhelmed with all the public support that's in here tonight, and the heroes here of our committed volunteers and council people. It's a very interesting topic, what to do with our land. We're at the end of a valley here, and we've got a certain amount of space, and we want to supply a certain amount of families. So I see some space, particularly, I'll just jump right into it, on the current land that's a Cascade Golf Course. We want to build buildings. We want to build dense residential. We need to have some sort of population increase in our area. And there's a lot of possibilities, although they're very limited. So there's areas where we can have a dense residential 15, like the townhomes type 15 residences per acre. LDR4 currently allows like 3 residences per acre, so the cottage housing bumps that up. We don't have a zone for dense residential, and we're kind of looking towards that to build some of it, either in the cottage zone or somewhere. And I see areas as the Cascade Golf Course for sale, be good to build the buildings there, non-obtrusive, kind of build a gateway into the flatlands here. So I just thank you for everybody that showed up, and I know I'm kind of sporadic on a sheet here. I'm just speaking from my heart, so thanks for listening. And I'm actually going to depart from my seat here and allow anyone like to sit here and find a spot.
Quick question for you, Travis.
Sorry, good. Are you done, Travis? Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's all right.
My question is this:
could you state your name and address for the record?
I'm Andre Lavigier, by the way. I live on the South Fork. We have 6 acres. And his son is here. He has 4 acres at the end of the road on the South Fork Road.
Thank you, sir.
Is any way that you're going to override any sort of county regulations? From what I understand, you don't. You can't.
No, the county is entirely separate land use regulations than within
the state. So I have two sets of regulations. I have the county on one hand, and then the zoning proposition on the other hand. And basically, if I stick with the county, it's not going to bother me personally, because I'm on the river. I can't divide half-acre lots. I've got to go 40 miles. So,
sir, can I ask, are you coming to one of the proposed amendments?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we're going to take that up a little later.
Okay.
Right now, we're just looking for non-agenda items. You'll have that opportunity a little later, because we want to hear the specifics. Yeah,
well, basically, you're not giving me a new set of regulations.
Yeah. Understood. Anyone else from the public on a non-agenda item? Okay. All right.
Rob.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to take a break just to make some more room for folks.
Okay.
Scoot the table back. We'll put chairs out there.
We're going to take a 5-minute pause just because we want to make sure we can get everybody in, okay?
Get you guys seated.
No. We're going to make sure we have space for everybody. We just need to skinny up a bit. We're going to bring up another row.
Dragon is good.
Should this come all the way over
Rob, do I remember right? You did this a couple times in an actual in the fire hall, and they had folding chairs stashed somewhere, like, you know, party chairs.
Well, we built large chairs over at the senior center.
All right, 5 more chairs. Who wants to get back? We'll right
through there. Party more staff. Folding chairs over here somewhere.
Now, these are the most comfortable.
That was smart. Best for last.
Yeah, Another one there? Yeah.
Yeah,
come on in, you guys.
Popcorn served in about 20 minutes.
Four more.
I know there was.
I've had a few much larger than this.
I'm not sitting there.
That being said, this is
a place. 2 seats available over here and 2 over here if anybody wants to have a seat.
Actually, if you just would mind moving forward, I'll put this back up. I just wanted to ask you, these are aerobics.
Appreciate that. Looking after my health.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, is that pretty good?
There's 2 more up front. They're black chairs.
You can move them down there, too.
All right, we good? Jenna, are you coming
you
back over
here?
Are you going to crawl back over here somehow?
Folks, we really appreciate your accommodation of this ridiculously tight room.
I like it.
Okay. Are we ready?
I'll just stand up for a little bit.
Okay. Just in case there was somebody stuck in the hallway, I'll just ask one more time. Is there anyone here wishing to speak on a non-agenda? Okay. Great. We'll move on. So, in a moment, I'll open the public hearing. And so I'm going to read through kind of the way that we're going to conduct the public hearing. I'll be asking some questions of the Planning Commission as well. Staff will be giving a report. We'll get your input. So at this time, we will, 7:10, open the public hearing to receive comments on the comprehensive plan land use map and zoning amendment map amendments. There are 8 different amendments being proposed, and we will be going through them one by one. We'll, as I mentioned, we'll start with a staff report. They're going to give us an overview, and then as we go through each item, we'll have staff give us that description. Then I'll invite public comment on that item, and then we'll move on to the next one. At the end of that process, I will circle back and ask if there are any general comments across the entire zoning, but I want to give everybody an opportunity to comment to the specific items that are being presented. Questions should be directed to the chair. Most all answers will be provided by staff. Planning Commission, likewise, will have the opportunity to ask questions. They're generally directed through the chair. We'll be asking for you to hold your comments to 3 minutes, and I've asked a fellow commissioner to help us time that. With this large of a crowd, I'll be fairly strict about that. We don't like to, you know, of course, cut people off, but we do need to understand that. Try and get everybody the opportunity to speak. That, you know, it can be tight. There is, I wanted to point out again, there is the sign-up sheet in the back, or did that move to the front, because I'll be needing that shortly.
Yeah, it's on the back table in the very back corner back there, so if you want to pass that around and make sure that if you want to speak, please sign up so that we can get that to the Planning Commission Chair to call on your name.
And so then once we get through all the way through the process, I'll again summarize where we were. We'll close the public hearing, and then the Planning Commission will be opening deliberations on the agenda item. At that point, we'll not be inviting comment from the public, but you're, of course, welcome to stay and listen to the deliberations if, in fact, we do go forward with deliberations tonight. I suspect that will depend on what point in the evening we end the public hearing portion. All right, and with that, I'll turn it over to staff for general introduction.
Okay. Thank you again all very much for coming. We really value your input. Wanted to give a little bit of a background of why we're here tonight, why we put some of these things out for public consideration. We're in the once in every 8 year process of updating our comprehensive plan. So we plan under what's called the Growth Management Act in Washington, which provides a requirement that local jurisdictions develop and maintain a comprehensive plan. So that's the overall growth vision for how we want to grow as a community. And within our comprehensive plan, we have our land use element, which describes zoning and land use throughout the city. The Planning Commission right now is in the process of updating that land use element. And if you look at the map up the front there, there's another one in the back, a larger map. That is our zoning map. And before we can go further into the process of updating our land use element, what we have to know is what should be changed on the land use map and the zoning map for the city. What are appropriate revisions to the zoning designations in which compatible uses would be developed. So the Planning Commission over the last several months has been working on those questions internally. You can see on the whiteboard there, on this board, they've been going through different recommendations from submitted by citizens, being brought up by planning commissioners and council members to consider different revisions of the zoning. So tonight, this is the first time that it's just being put out to the public. This is not a proposal that we're going to do this, but rather the Planning Commission just wants to hear from the public about what do you think about these ideas. So once they receive your comment, they'll be further deliberating on those ideas and then moving forward with some recommendations to the City Council to consider for map amendments.
Can we ask questions as you're going along, or do we just need to be silent?
At this point, I appreciate we'll get through the staff introductions and then we'll begin through the list. So, appreciate that.
So, we're almost there. What I would just wanted to say is that we're going to go through one by one. I think you alluded to that. We'll give an introduction of the particular zoning amendment. And on the back table there also is a number of handouts that have the maps of the amendments. So this is also what you received via mail, if you received it in the mail, or what was also on the website. So we'll use this to go through one by one, to describe what those particular amendments are, some of the rationale of the Planning Commission's former consideration of this and why it was brought forward to you. And then we can open up that particular section of the public hearing to address that, close that part, move on to the next one, and so forth.
Thanks, Mike. And I want to come back to your question to me, and a good time to also state it. When you do share with us your thoughts, what I'm asking you to do first, and please in a good loud voice, because we've got just one recorder at the front, and I ask for your name and address for the record. That is part of our process before you begin your comments. If you have a procedural question at this time, I'm happy to entertain that. But if the comment was directed towards a specific item, I'd ask you to wait.
No, it was a general comment. General question.
Okay.
Now, when he says city of North Bend, is he talking just city limits?
Well again, could you tell his first name? Good practice.
There we go. Right? Good practice. Good. Kerry Bailey. I live on 415th Way, southeast.
Thank you.
And so when we're discussing things and he says city of North Bend, is it strictly city limits? Or
yeah.
Are we looking at the whole zip code? Because some of the things I'm looking at on here are outside of city limits.
That's correct. So the city is responsible for planning everything within what's called our urban growth area. That's everything that you see in color on the map. So that includes areas that are currently in unincorporated King County. Those areas could be annexed in the future. And if they were to become annexed, the zoning that would take effect would be the zoning that the city has planned for. So that's why you see some of the areas that are being considered for amendment tonight are currently outside of city limits, but they're within our urban growth area, and therefore the city is responsible to plan for those for when annexation takes place.
Thank you. Great point. So at this point, before we get into the items, I do want to ask of all of the commissioners, while this is not a quasi-judicial hearing, I do like to make sure that we are very straightforward in our roles within this, and particularly in regard to any conflicts that we might have. So if any commission member feels that they have a financial or personal interest affected by one of these property issues, I'm going to ask that you make us aware of that and whether or not you feel that you can take part essentially objectively. And we can do that either in, you know, just right now in collective or by item, your choice.
What's the first item on the JIT? Is still number one? Park Street still number one?
It's still number one.
Then I should comment that I have property on Park Street. I won't be voting if that comes to pass today.
Thank you. Anyone else?
In the back.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yep, absolutely. Sorry. So Jim was pointing out that he owns property on Park Street and won't vote on that topic should it come up. Not hearing any other commissioner, and I can say that at one time I did own property that would have been impacted, and I no longer own that property. So.
Congratulations. Yeah. Dick Ryan, yes, I have no conflict of interest in his property, so I did it on the Tanner Road system, but we're not talking about that tonight.
Thank you, Dick. Okay, with that, Mike, let's go to amendment number one, which is Park Street, high-density residential with a limited commercial overlay.
So in the handouts, that's just the very first sheet, says amendment one. What this is along Park Street, properties that are shown in the dark yellow, not the light yellow, are zoned currently high-density residential, which is a multifamily zone. And they also have what's called a limited commercial overlay district on them, which allows for a certain number of commercial uses, attorney's offices, dental offices, medical, things of that like that are not retail uses that tend to be of a lower intensity commercial use. The Planning Commission considered this area and felt that because of the increasing traffic on Park Street, the relationship to the downtown area, and the overall context of it being within or very, very much adjacent to and a part of the overall downtown commercial area, the downtown commercial zone, they had felt that it was appropriate to consider whether to rezone this area to downtown commercial. Downtown commercial would allow for additional uses that are not allowed in the high density residential with limited commercial. It would allow, for example, restaurants, retail uses, as well as the existing uses that are currently allowed in that zone of residential uses, including both single family and multifamily residential. So this would be an up zone to allow additional uses.
Okay, thank you, Mike. I've got the sign-up sheet here, but considering that we have eight different topics, I'll ask for, a hand, and then I can identify if you're on the sheet or not, and we can take it from there in regard to speaking. Is there anyone here that wishes to provide public comment on item number one on Park Street? Okay. All right. Hearing none, we'll move on. Item number two, 4th Street, North Bend, Neighborhood Business Revised to Downtown Commercial.
Okay. So just at the between 4th Street and the Snoqualmie Valley Trail, there's a number of properties you can see again on the handout in the dark yellow, which are currently zoned Neighborhood Business. Neighborhood Business is also a commercial zone and allows largely the same uses as the downtown commercial zone, but it tends to be more of a service-based zone. It allows things like auto repair, towing yards, things that are a little bit more of a service industrial nature. And because of the location here being between a residential neighborhood to the north and the downtown commercial zone to the south and adjacent to the Snoqualmie Valley Trail, which is really an amenity, the Planning Commission considered this and felt that it would be appropriate to just rezone this area to downtown commercial to be compatible with the remainder of the neighborhood around it.
Okay, thank you. And is there anyone here from the public wishing to speak to amendment item number two, 4th Street change from neighborhood business to downtown commercial? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number three, Orchard Drive, low-density residential parcels, three of them, revised to high-density residential.
Okay, so on the sheet, amendment three is the one on the left. So that says you're coming down Orchard Drive. If you're going towards Side View, that would be the properties on your left. Right now, they're just single-family homes, and across the street from them would be the Mount Si, I believe it's the Mount Si Apartments. Is that their name?
Yeah.
This is kind of an isolated island because it's between the roundabout, Cedar Falls Way, North Bend Way, and Orchard Drive, and kind of sits on its own, but adjacent to other multifamily and also in proximity to the downtown. So the Planning Commission had previously considered this and thought that this may be more appropriate to rezone as high-density residential, reflecting the adjacent uses.
So, yeah, question?
Yeah, on the property,
on three, and I'm sorry again, please, if you'd state your name.
Oh, Greg Bronman, on the property on Orchard Drive. I haven't seen any mixed use with a lot of business at the bottom, residential on the top. Is that in the plans at all, mixed use?
Do you mean for these specific properties or in general?
Well, for this property and for any, I haven't seen any of that on any of these plans, actually.
Okay, Mike.
So mixed use is an allowed use to a number of zones within the city. So within our neighborhood business zone, our high density residential zone, our interchange mixed use zone, all those allow for mixed use. Residential on top, commercial on bottom. That's not proposed for this particular area because it's more of a residential neighborhood. It's something the Planning Commission could consider.
Yep. And is that comment that, I'm inviting you to follow up?
Yeah, we could change that to a mixed use kind of zone.
Got that. Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on amendment number three, the Orchard Drive? Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Steve Theodore. I live on Southeast 5th Street, so I'm in the zone of being affected by this. And really, I've talked to Mike, so apologies to Mike through email. So he's answered some of my questions, but I wanted to clarify it for the room. One of the issues I had with the map as sent to me was this gray area, meaning the gray is kind of what had me worried. I believe what's going on is the only zone that's going to be affected is the dark yellow island, you know, pie-shaped piece there in terms of what could be developed. So I want to confirm that, first of all, and then knowing what the zoning change is, you know, obviously there's apartments across the street from it. Our suspicion is that then, you know, it would become attractive to someone to put up something similar to that. And I'm here to learn. You know, I've never been to one of these meetings, but our view from our neighborhood on Fifth Street is just, we don't want it to be encroaching, right? We have this green belt that currently exists between that property and where we live. And I believe that Mike was able to put this, you know, to rest in my mind, but again, I'm here to learn about it, and I just want to reiterate that that is the case. This mixed, or sorry, excess right-of-way at WSDOT in King County, this was the confusing point for me, and I just want to confirm for everyone here, the yellow, dark yellow, that's all we're talking about in terms of these proposals.
That's correct, and that brings up some other points that I want to mention on the map. So you see the red line that goes around it? That doesn't represent the overall area of the amendments. That's just if you're within 300 feet of the dark yellow, you were notified because that's part of our process. So that red line is just the 300-foot boundary. The actual amendments are the dark yellow. And to confirm your point that the area of the gray on that saying undeveloped excess right-of-way, that shows up on some of our maps. It is an old remnant of the old Interstate 90 when it was originally planned to go right through Sideview. That is now owned by King County and Department of Transportation. That particular parcel is zoned low-density residential. It didn't show up on this particular map set, and that's not proposed for amendment.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on Amendment Number 3, Orchard Drive? Name and address, please.
My name's Wilson. I live on Southeast Fifth Street. I'm just curious to know what happens to the people who live in the homes that are going to be replaced. There are two or three little homes. They're older homes.
There's nothing that's proposed to be replaced at this point. This is just for considering future allowed use. So if those homes want to stay, as long as they want to stay, they would remain. And a single-family home is a fully permitted use also in the high-density residential zone. So if somebody wanted to build a new single-family home, they could still do that under the zoning.
So then there could be either single or multi in the places around those homes.
Yes.
The only other comment I wanted to make is that I understand what you're saying, that that's why DOT owns that. It's supposed to be a highway, right? It's kind of brushy, but I want to tell everybody in the room that I have seen deer, bobcats, even a little black bear. So animals need a right-of-way. So I think of that as the animal's right-of-way. And we need to preserve those right-of-ways going forward to make sure that they can get wherever it was they're going. I would just hate to see us overly develop North Bend to where the animals live. That's just my comment.
Thank you. I think I'm seeing a hand going up. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on Amendment Number 3, Orchard Drive? All right. Great. Item number 4, which is also on this same sheet, East North Bend Way, Torgerson Park to Thrasher, low-density residential revised to high-density with a limited commercial overlay.
So same map as the Amendment Number 3. But on this, and this one is on the right side of the page, and you can see it in the cross-hatching with the dark yellow. So these properties are currently zoned low-density residential, which is a single-family residential zone. And this was submitted as a docket request, which is a request for amendment that the Planning Commission took up and to consider revising this to high-density residential with an overlay. So we were talking earlier about the limited commercial overlay district, which would allow certain commercial uses of a lower intensity nature, doctor's offices and the like. That would be applied in this proposal. The Planning Commission had considered this and considered the adjacency to North Bend Way with the higher traffic, the adjacency to Torgerson Park, and that multifamily housing, higher density residential might be appropriate in this context, particularly given proximity also to downtown.
Mr. Torgerson, I know you're first on the sign-up sheet.
I think this is a, my name's Don Torgerson. I live at 790 I think this is an excellent use of the property because if you build multifamily down there, there is walking distance to the QFC, walking distance to medical. It's an ideal location, and commercial underneath, offices, it's a good location. The high density of the traffic there is very high. I think it's the second highest street in North Bend for traffic. And it takes 5 minutes to get on my driveway, so I know that. And it's definitely a poor place for single family. There's to the west, there's commercial. To the east, there's commercial. And I think I've polled several people. I found that a whole lot of residents in North Bend approved this idea. I mean, I stood out in front of QFC and asked them what they thought about rezoning it for that. And I got a very positive response. In fact, a very high response. So I think it is something to be considered.
For the record, also, Mr. Torgerson submitted, I believe there's 111 comments, which were provided to the planning commissioners. Those comments were all the same comment letter, but with different signatories. Another person also submitted a comment in support of this amendment, Ewing Stringfellow, who also owned the property within the area being considered, and that's also in the planning commission packet. Okay.
Thank you. All right. Is there another? And if you would also help me out, if you signed in, help point me that you did that as well. So, yes, sir.
Yes, Greg Rothy, 129 Thrasher Avenue. I did sign in.
Thank you.
And I actually own the property that on the map here physically touches the back corner of the crosshatched proposed zoning change. And the first thing that I wanted to bring up is that zoning change for these particular parcels has gone before the city council before, and it was voted down. And it was voted down for the same reasons that are remain true today, only doubly so for this new request, and that's that the council didn't feel it was appropriate to let development sprawl outside of the downtown core. They'd much rather develop that downtown core rather than allow that sprawl. And I think that one of the council members said it best when this came up for a vote in front of them. A town that looks at zoning changes and says, zones are made to be changed, is a town that's signing up for out-of-control sprawl and all of the civic and pollution and congestion problems that go along with that. I'm surprised that this is back on the docket again, having been voted down. And having been voted down last time, it was just high density residential. So this time they're going for high density residential plus a commercial overlay. If it was no before, I don't understand why we're still having the discussion. There's also the fact that this is, you can see Silver Creek on the map, and that is a wildlife thoroughfare. That is something that somebody else brought up here, too. I mean, there's elk and bear and other wild animals that use this particular area. We build it up and make it more congested. I don't know where the animals will go. They need to be able, they need to have a path to migrate between the ports of the river. So that's my piece. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Ron.
Yeah, I can provide just a clarification for you about why this is coming up again. It's just a part of the public process. We did receive a docket, which is a request for amendment, so that starts the process for if the Planning Commission wishes to consider it, and the Planning Commission chose to consider it again and open it up for public comment.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here that wishes to speak on amendment number 4, East North Bend Way? Okay. Seeing no one, we'll move to amendment number 4, number 5, Southeast 140th, certain neighborhood business parcels revised to low-density residential.
So we're going out to the east end of town into the Tanner neighborhood now, and this also started out as a initial docket request a couple years ago that the Planning Commission chose not to pick up at the time because they'd be doing this major amendment this year. So they've now taken up the issue, and that docket request was to consider a rezone of all properties on the south side of 140th to low-density residential. the Planning Commission considered that and didn't feel it was appropriate with all of the properties on the south side of North Bend Way, or 140th, because a lot of those properties contain existing commercial or industrial uses. So the Planning Commission considered what would be the most appropriate areas to consider for that. And they focused in on an area of currently neighborhood business zone that's occupied or has developed over time as single-family residential. So this is just south of the Tannerwood neighborhood, and there's a lot of single-family homes that have developed within that cluster. So the Planning Commission considered only those properties that were currently occupied by a single-family home or immediately adjacent, but left out the properties that were fronting to North Bend Way or other properties that contain commercial uses.
Thank you. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to speak on Amendment Number 4 of the Southeast 140th? Well, we must have one coming up that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll move on to Amendment Suggestion Number 6. East North Bend Way, 4 parcels revised from neighborhood business to EP2. Also on the same page.
Same page, yeah. So this is what's shown in the orange. These properties are currently zoned neighborhood business, and because the Planning Commission was considering redesignating those properties that are occupied by residences to single-family residential, that left a little bit of a low with neighborhood business, which the Planning Commission didn't consider made much sense. And it seemed to make better sense to take that lobe and put it together with the rest of the Employment Park zone properties to the east of it. Employment Park is an industrial zone that allows for a range of business park and light industrial type uses. These properties are not necessarily vacant, but not fully developed. They're being used for some storage purposes, which is an allowed use under the Employment Park zone. So the Planning Commission considered that to be a good solution to address this little bit of leftover neighborhood business.
Thank you. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to provide comment on Amendment Number 6, East North Bend Way, change of 4 parcels from neighborhood business to EP2? Yes, sir. Name and address, please.
My name is Tom Weber. I'm the owner of the property. I've owned it since the game.
All 4 parcels, sir?
Yeah, and okay. I'd like to thank you all for your work. You're doing a good job. And I'm not too involved with it all, but I do appreciate your work. And I really appreciate you correcting this zone because it's always been used for the description in your EP2, and it got changed and didn't make any sense. So I'm glad you guys got it without me even saying it.
Thank you. And I did have you down on the sheet, Greg. Yeah, so thank you.
But you sound supportive of the idea.
Yeah. Great idea.
Is there anyone else here that wishes to comment on Amendment Number 6, North Bend Way? Okay. Amendment Number 7, between Southeast Cedar Falls Way and East North Bend Way, Cottage residential to high density residential.
Maybe this is the popular one tonight. Let's see. Question?
My name is Joe. I live in La Forest Homes. And questions that come to mind right now is we've just acquired this new neighborhood of Cedar Falls right next to us. And we see increasing traffic already. We're right next to a school, Oxford, which is already over capacity. So I guess my question is, how are we going to handle traffic in this kind of plan? Where are those kids going to go? What do we do with the current congestion?
Let me first...
Yeah, back up and get the overview. Sorry, good question.
Let me just make an overview of what the amendments are, just so that everybody understands the context, and then we'll come back to that. So the amendments considered here... And the Planning Commission spent a whole meeting on this one at their last meeting, so they do realize the weight of the issues with this one.
So currently, the properties between North Bend Way and Cedar Falls Way are zoned for cottage residential. Cottage residential is a small single-family home zone. It allows for size-limited single-family homes, smaller than what you've seen developed in North Bend, except for maybe some of the houses downtown. It allows for up to 10 units per acre, so it is at a higher density, much higher density than what you can see for the rest of the low-density residential zone around it. The Planning Commission considered this in the context of a need for more affordable housing within the city and a need for more housing choices. And please correct me if I'm misstating anything of the Planning Commission's thoughts on this. They considered the relationship to the Tanner Trail and the junction of the Mount Si Road being an opportunity for housing that would relate to those amenities, and felt that those things outweighed the desire or just supported the need for additional housing, and so therefore considered multifamily housing within the zone. So just to get back to your questions, transportation issues. So any project that comes for review under the city's regulations requires a transportation impact analysis to determine what the impacts of that particular project are to city streets and intersections in particular. And by way of that transportation analysis, the city can require off-site improvements. So off-site sidewalk improvements, improvements to intersections to bring them up to a level of service that's acceptable per the city's level of service standards. What was your other one?
The schools.
Schools are addressed by the school district, so the city collects school impact fees for every new residential use and provides those impact fees to the school district. But the school district is responsible for planning for the facilities it needs for its anticipated growth.
Well, we haven't seen great success with that.
And the school district can bring forward levies for the consideration of the public, but the city can't do anything other than collect school impact fees and pass those along to the school district.
Okay.
You'd say you're opposed to this?
I'm opposed to it, yeah. I think that there needs to be more information about this whole strip and people to understand what this affordable housing really needs and what does it do to our property values. That's a big chunk right there. Big stretch.
Thank you very much. Sir? Yes, sir.
My name is Corey Brannon, and I live in the LaForest Homes as well. I'm actually the vice president of the Homeowners Association. And I echo the comments about not only property values, which is not as big a concern as the aesthetic appeal of this portion of North Bend. A little bit of history. I lived in Redmond for 7 years in a high-density situation. Part of the reason why I moved out to North Bend was because of the laid-back, this open, airy, natural environment. That goes away with high-density residential. We talk about low-income housing. Low-income housing brings low-income housing problems. The increase of traffic, the increase of pollution, the increase of crime, the increase of all those things within high-density residential, I'm vehemently opposed to, to this type of expansion. There's opportunity for this. Another one of the benefits of living out here, especially in the forest, I don't hit a street light until I get all the way to 148th Street. So that part, that appeal, those things make North Bend special, especially on Cedar Falls Way. So this type of plan, I believe, is short-sighted, especially with the amount of problems and the type of situations that are going to arise with that. I mean, we just moved to sharing the police department with the Snoqualmie area. That's going to increase as well. It's going to have to. So, I opposed to this, and I hope there's others here that are opposed to this as well.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here from the public that wishes to speak on Amendment Number 7, Cedar Falls? Sir.
Nathan Quinton. I have a property on this stretch.
Give your address.
Yes, 4901.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I look at this, and I've got some projects and stuff on one of the properties. And I look at this as, we'll have more increasing crime. We're having a lot of crime just because we have a lot of spots where people can hide within these areas. I know next door to me, there's a lot of bad going on. So if we can develop these, not in making them huge high density, but something that is more attractive. I mean, we don't have a lot of area here for people to come in that don't make a lot of money. You know, there's not a lot of apartments, not a lot of top condos and that kind of stuff. And then also looking this right across the street on the North End Way, we have kind of commercial right there. Going back to what somebody else said, high density residential, does this include that kind of multi-use in this stretch?
No. No, this would just be straight high density.
Because right now my property used to be an antique shop, and now I have a barbershop there, and I can't do anything else because the city has said, oh, you can just have a barbershop now. And it used to be a commercial piece of property. And then it got changed to cottages. And now I'm sitting there going, okay, what the heck? But I think going to high density, we kind of give, we've got a beautiful mountain, and we don't have to go too big. You know, you guys can restrict height lines. You guys have restrictions on how many trees can be taken out. You have restrictions on all sorts of stuff, right? So we can still keep that beauty if we develop it correctly. And so I think if we go to high density, we can get a little bit better, you know, buildings inside this stretch, attract more people. To the North Van City, because, I mean, we got to grow sometime. We can't just sit, but we don't want to get too big.
Thank you. Sorry. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my wife and I.
You need your name and address for the record, please.
Barry Garsby.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, I think everyone laments the growth of a beautiful small city like North Bend, but ultimately it happens. And I think that the planning of it and, you know, the forethought, like you guys are doing, and we're all doing, is very important. And, I think that this section here would be dramatic in a change for the city, but it could also be an advantage to bringing in people. It doesn't have to be. I don't know what the concern about low income is. I guess with apartments, perhaps there's a stigma with apartments that, you know, lends itself to low income people. That they're people too. Obviously, they have to live somewhere. I've lived in apartments. I'm not a thug. But, you know, condos, of course, are another step above that are high density and can be done very nicely. I think that if we did do something where there was a mixture of apartments and condos, and then on the first floor there was a retail, I mean, that would really, because we have all the traffic comes to Mount Si, comes for skiing. You know, it could be a nice multi-use for that. That's just much fun.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on amendment number 7 at Southeast Cedar Falls?
Well, I'll have my 2 cents. So Greg Rothy, 129 Thrasher Avenue. I don't live anywhere near here, but I've heard a couple of people say, well, you got to grow sometime, and I don't necessarily agree with that. Back when there was a problem with the water rights between North Bend and Seattle, there was a 10-year growth moratorium on North Bend. And a lot of the people who live here feel that's one of the best things that ever happened to North Bend. That's why it's a nice place to live. That's why we like it here. And I also just wanted to add that the foundational principle of the city mission statement is to support a local economy and the rural character of the community. So I hope that the Planning Commission keeps that in mind when they're talking about all this, you know, cramming more people in here. We've got to grow and got to develop. And I don't think that's necessarily true.
I'm sorry. Here first, and then we'll come back to you, Tom.
Sorry, John Andrews, I live on Southeast 5th. Then I also want to just point out that is another pathway that the elk take frequently. So I don't know if that would impact their travels at all.
Okay. Good, done?
Huh?
You're good? You're done?
Yeah, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, thank you.
I like watching them.
Tom, your hand was up next.
Oh, yeah, I'm still Tom Weber. just a little comment. I was born here. There was 450 people in this town. And it's going to grow. And it seems that it's being handled. It's the reason you people are here. You're doing a good job. I agree with your plan. I don't want to see high-rise apartments out here. Cottage idea is great. This is the common thing. It's happening all over. Good idea.
Is there anyone else from the public wishes to speak on item number 7? Okay. Seeing no more, we'll move on to the last specific item, Amendment 8. Certain low-density residential parcels in floodplain to the South Fork Snoqualmie River to new constrained residential zoning, half-acre lot sizes. Mike?
Okay, we're on the back page now, last one. I imagine that this is probably the other popular one for tonight. What this would do is, and again, this is an area that's not currently annexed. None of this except for one parcel is currently within the city limits, but we're planning for when annexation, should annexation occur. Part of the process that the Planning Commission's been through this year was to reconsider our low-density residential zone. Previously, our low-density residential zone had lot sizes an average of 6,500 square feet with a minimum of 5,000 square feet. The council had considered whether or not that was appropriate, considering part of it being the city's vision statement of being a preserving some of the rural character of the community. They suggested the Planning Commission take that up. The Planning Commission took that up and concurred with them, amended the minimum lot size within the low-density residential zone to be a minimum of 7,000 square feet and an average of 8,500 square feet. Is that right? 7,500. At the same time, the Planning Commission got public comment that said that we even feel like that's too tight for some of our areas of town. And so they said, when we're updating our comprehensive plan, let's consider if there's other areas of town that would make sense to go below that level. They also considered the proximity of the floodplain in this area, and that, consistent with FEMA policy, you try to reduce impacts within the floodplain, reducing potential densities within the floodplain. And together with those things, the Planning Commission came back with an idea to create a low-density, or a what they called it, constrained residential zone, reflecting the floodplain context, where lot sizes would be larger on the scale of 1/2 acre for lot sizes.
Just to clarify again, currently not within the city and would not impact any existing.
Would not impact anybody that's in the county currently. You're under the county zoning until you annex. So what this would do is, if the city were to annex, those properties within the dark yellow would then have a 1/2 acre lot size minimum for new lots. It doesn't affect anybody that's got an existing lot.
And with that overview, we'll start. Yes, yes sir.
Thomas Merrim, 13204412. I guess I'm the, I won't say the gray area, but I'm in the yellow area here. The proposed annexation, I guess, I almost sensed in his tongue that he said, when we annex it, instead of yeah. So when's the next meeting on that? I have absolutely, and I like Tom Weber, somebody lives within city limits North Bend, I think you should be able to do for the most part what you want with your property. And I'm kind of in a wedge. I got a little 4-acre piece on the sharpest bend of the river there, and I feel like being dammed at the bottom where you're putting this hotel. There's 3 feet of water on the asphalt there, and you're building a hotel there. It makes absolutely no sense. Now you want to potentially, I'm just talking close to the river because that's affecting me. There's only one way in and one way out. I'm at the end of the road there. A couple months ago, we had a water main break, and it took Public Works about 3 hours to get it stopped. that's kind of where I'm at. Just wondering when the proposed annexation of that would be, because I don't want to be annexed in the city.
Yeah, there's no
proposed. I've lived here since 1968.
No proposed annexation for this. Annexation would only occur through an annexation petition that was received from the community. And then there's a process that the council has to consider that you have to get up to a certain assessed value percentage in an percentage of people that want to annex at the same time. So that process would have to occur, which would be a public process as well before annexation would take place.
So Mike,
so would that be, sorry to get long winded, if I'm not in city limits, I can't vote on city topics. If I'm an unincorporated king, how does that work?
Well, the,
well, I was going to say what you wanted. I think what you would clarify how really most of these petitions start, right? It's not a city action; it's the landowner.
Yeah, right? The landowner is submitting a petition.
Currently, I mean, in King County, because of the shape of my property, the setback from the river, and this and that, I can only build one home. That's all I want. Okay, I have no desire to build it out any or anything like that. But currently, in King County, I couldn't do that anyway. That's not my request. I just want to know what the voting procedure would be when you say, hey, we're putting this up for annexation. What say do I have in that?
Thomas, I think that right now you're under King County regulations and you would stay under that unless an annexation occurred.
An
annexation would only occur if you and your neighbors chose to put together what we call a petition to annex. And you have to get up to 60% of your neighbors to sign that petition to even want to even have it move, start moving through the process. So it really is a process that is driven by the people of that area. So this, the reason why we're dealing with the zoning of this area is only because we are looking at our UGA in total citywide. In the event, say, you and your neighbors wanted to annex, we're hearing that you don't, and that would stay that way as long as the opinion in your neighborhood was of that nature.
However, if you did annex, what this would do is it would mean that your neighborhood right around you within the yellow zone there would have bigger lot sizes than what they otherwise could under the current proposal, under the current zoning upon annexation.
So again, just in summary, no changes unless the property owners come forward and were successful with an annexation. If the annexation did take place, then this new zoning would in effect increase the lot size from what it currently would be allowed to be.
This yellow area is on both the east and west side of the river. The east side is city. You don't have clearly outlined here, but I'm approximately half mile south of Safeway, which includes I'm south of Redwood Estates in there. So defined neighborhood. I'll bring this up with you later on.
I think the best thing to get the clarity you're looking for would be to visit with staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they could help you there. Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Warren Halverson, and I actually live in Bellevue, but my mother-in-law and folks have lived here a long time, and we've owned two parcels there for 40-some years, and before anything's done, I'll probably be dead. But the issue that I see out there is, and maybe you could answer the question along Maloney Grove Road, I was really surprised at the development along Maloney Grove Road. Could you tell me what the zoning is for what was provided there, and I think you probably know the new developments in there.
Yeah.
Yes, are they, and I guess the basic question is, are they high, low, or constrained density?
Those developments that you see that have developed recently along Maloney Grove Road are in the low density residential zone. So that was what the council recently took action on to increase the lot sizes. But that is what otherwise, with the slightly larger lot sizes, adopted for that zone is what you would otherwise see developed in this area unless this amendment were to take place.
So let me make sure I understand those developments along there are low density?
Yes.
Four houses per acre.
Wow.
Density is worse.
Oh, yeah.
So this amendment would change it from that low density 4 per acre down to half acre lot sizes in the dark yellow area.
You're lowering the density out there as a result of your probably not doing it along Lowland Grove. You're really compensating to some degree your building in the lower density. It just seems to me that the constrained residential would not be that dense. I have a hard time, particularly if you take into consideration some of the other aspects that go on with water, you know, situations, the closeness to water, wetlands, and this whole area that you're dealing with is already penalized, but constrained significantly. So.
Yeah, and that's part of the
mixed emotions. I like open spaces, but I certainly don't particularly care for some of that, quite frankly, along Baldwin Road.
This proposal would actually not result in the density that you see on Maloney Grove. It would be half that. So it's going from the 4DU to a half acre zoning.
Could you define for me what high density is then?
Multifamily.
Oh, it's all multifamily. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm neutral. Just leave them alone. I'll pay the taxes.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this thing? Yes, sir.
I have a piece of property.
Could you remind us again?
Oh, Kerry Bailey.
Yeah, thanks.
We're here, Kingway. I have the only yellow piece on the west side of the freeway. And I'm kind of wondering how it got there. I'm kind of wondering how I got singled out.
I'm glad you're in here because you can understand. You can help me understand because I don't know how it's on there either. I suspect it's some kind of property tie that goes under the freeway. Maybe it was property lines prior to when the freeway came in. Do you own something on the other side of the freeway as well?
They condemned a lot of the property.
They condemned it like years ago before they put the freeway through and just kind of took it away.
We're talking about this corner here, right?
Yeah. I wanted access to that little piece that was between the river and the freeway. But,
so just for everyone's clarity, Mike, I just want to make sure what you're saying is that piece is currently in the low density zone.
It is,
and
yeah.
That's why it's showing up on the map.
But as far as they know, it wasn't. I didn't realize it was part of the rest of the urban growth boundary.
It is within the urban growth boundary, yes.
But just you.
Just me, yeah. I mean, the pieces next to it aren't. I would definitely don't want to be involved in that.
Is that a correct statement? Actually, let me back up.
Yeah, Carrie, you know what we will do? We'll call you. Did you leave your phone number?
No, but I can't.
Okay, we're going to call you because that's an odd piece that I'm questioning myself in the realm of. I just want to make sure it's actually in the UGA. So we'll look at our information to make sure that city limits or UGA limits actually goes below the freeway there. And we'll get back to you.
So it does actually.
It's
there's
odd.
A question. Yeah. There's a question mark there. So.
It could be a mapping mistake.
You put a high rise in it.
Thanks. Is there anyone else? Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Roy Maker. I live in the county, or just 1350-421 Southeast in what's known as Brookside Acres. I, like a few other people, were born and raised here. I have a question. If you do this, does that have any effect on the width of the streets? Because I have to go through this crap on the Roy Grove Road to get to my house. And it gets closer and closer like this with people parking on the streets. Bartholomew, they have a log truck at the end of my road. And if you meet two people in there, you're not going to make it. You're going to be in Maisie Davis's tree park. So I was just wondering if you're going to do anything with the width of those streets or restrict parking on the streets.
Mike, I think it's another good one for you, just essentially about what happens in development.
This is just purely zoning. Zoning doesn't affect street standards. Maloney Grove Road is considered a collector street, so it has a certain street standard that includes a certain width, and I believe it includes parking lanes on the street. I think the issue that is particular to that area of Maloney Grove is there were some survey errors that were done back in the 1960s that affected property lines all up and down Maloney Grove Road. So the right-of-way is doing this kind of thing, and we're trying to fix that over time. And as development occurs, we're requiring additional dedication. But until all that development occurs, we're going to have that weird thing that creates some jogs and some tight spots along Maloney Grove.
Mike, is it? I'm sorry.
I used to work with the city council, and I asked him about it. He said, I got no say. I don't live in the city. So, but I have to drive through there to get home. And we have to, sometimes it takes tough. We have to wait and drop him.
Yeah, and I was going to go to do exactly that, Mike. Is it safe to say that what we're seeing as the development has progressed on Maloney Grove, the street width that's being put in with that development, that is essentially what is intended to continue down if yeah. new development occurs?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So that wider width that you're seeing, picture that would continue with each new.
Start of it and get narrower as it comes. So, because it's still three developments that are under development right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Is there anyone else here who would like to speak to amendment number 8? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Brittany Varley, and I live on 423rd Avenue Southeast. And my question is just how did they decide where to stop? I actually live in one of the smaller properties that borders the tree farm there. And it's just interesting that it stops there, and that the tree farm wouldn't be considered in the larger lot parcel.
Sure.
Oh, that's the other city limits. I guess, yeah. Someone else said there's your miller, so I'm kind of the same way. I don't know a lot of this.
Yeah. Yeah, the other consideration with that is the Planning Commission was trying to align it with what's in the floodplain, and the floodplain boundary loosely follows that line.
As far as I know, I'm not in the floodplain.
Yeah, and if you're not in the yellow area, that
I
was.
Am in the yellow.
Oh, you are in the yellow area, okay.
Just for your information, the floodplain ends at the end of my property, so you're on.
Good to know your neighbors.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to speak on amendment number 8? Going once, twice. Okay. All right. Well, that concludes the individual amendment pieces. As I promised, I do want to circle back and ask if there is anyone who wants to speak in general about the overall planning changes that we're taking in mind. Let me first just go through the sign-up sheet, make sure that we've got everybody who was signed up and wanting to speak, and then we'll go to the general. Don, you're hiding in the doorway. I think you're done. You good, Don?
You want to say anything else?
Did you want to make any other comments in general?
I don't know what else to say. Except
okay.
I think you have a good idea of finding here. I think it's a good idea because you put a high density apartment there. Or like if you could place the 55 with all of it, you know, you have to be I'd like to be against the investor right now. You can do a condo like that. You'd like better. And I like the idea that you can walk to the grocery store and walk back. It's a convenience. Get some people off the street.
Thanks.
It's a very high density area. It's definitely not residential. I tried to sell it as residential, and that was a joke. It's just too busy there. It's very much commercial. I mean, just get it like a real smart person to do that. You know, there's a high density area.
Thank you. A lot of folks crossed their names out when they realized I was going to call on them. Greg, you, where'd you go? He left. Oh, there you are, Greg. Sorry. Yeah, you were good.
I think I said my piece. The only thing that I could add is, I understand that Mr. Ferguson wants to, possibly increase his property values so that he can make more money selling the property, but that would come at the cost of decreasing the values of my property and my neighbors, so that doesn't seem fair either.
Craig Peacock.
I'm good.
You're good? Travis Bridgman. Where'd Travis go? Did he leave us? Okay. Carrie, you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Robert Burton.
Good.
And Corey Brannon?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay. Steve Theodore?
Yeah, I've got one. When they change the zoning limits, how does the height factor change? Is that independent, or when you go to a different level, so let's say an apartment, condo, whatever, multifamily type stuff, how high can you build in the city right now? I've always wondered that.
Yeah, so both low-density residential single-family and high-density, could be single or multifamily, have a 35-foot height limit within the city. Okay. Regardless of the typology.
Fantastic. Always wondered that.
You're welcome. That's a Tom Weber I saw walk leave us. Is there anyone else? Tom. Tom, did you have anything more to add?
No, I'm good.
Okay, thank you. And so anyone who's not on the sign-up sheet that wanted to give us general comments back?
Yes, sir. I was under the impression that if you had a floodplain and you hadn't built there yet, that you couldn't build there. So I guess that's wrong. You know, someone built in the 1930s and he lived in a floodplain and he flooded out everything and it's wonderful. For some reason, I thought we could change that and decided if you had a floodplain, you had to build a flood. Would it be a good idea to build there? In my mind, it's not.
So I provided response to you on that. Floodplain, no. You can build in a floodplain if it's a floodway. And I don't see the flood. It's right back there. It's a little hard to see. But you can kind of see back in the shadows there, the areas in pink are within the floodway. And the floodway is the area that you can't build new construction.
That hotel's not the floodway?
No. Any areas on the map that you see are in the pink, we can take a look at it afterwards.
Okay. All right. Ed, I know we're getting restless, long meeting already. Anyone else wishing to provide public comment?
I have a question.
Sure. Remind us your name again, please.
Don Andrews.
Thank you, Sean.
So on Amendment 3, if they make that the high-density residential, it borders the King County right away and the land. So if they wanted to extend into that greenbelt, how hard would that, would they just ask to buy that, or would they petition the county, or is that something that would never happen?
They wouldn't be able to extend over. They'd have to purchase that land. And then the other part of that parcel is not zoned high-density residential, and it's not a part of the amendments to zone for high-density residential. It's zoned low-density residential. So.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Just a question for you. What are the next steps for this? Because I'm learning too.
Excellent time for that question. So in a few minutes, I'm going to reach out to the Plan Commission members, see if they have any questions for staff or anyone in the audience before we conclude the public hearing. We'll close the public hearing. We'll then be opening up for deliberations amongst the Planning Commission. We may or may not reach a conclusion tonight. It could continue to another meeting. At the point at which we finalize our recommendation, that will then be sent to council. The first step there is that it will go to a council committee for their consideration on when it will arrive in the council agenda. And then, of course, you will see that council agenda, and there will be another public hearing at council where you can provide additional comment, as well as, of course, additional written comments directly to council. All right, so again, as a reminder, what we do is to provide our recommendation to council, and then they go through a similar process in making final decisions.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And with that, then, I will turn to fellow commissioners and see if you have any further questions at this time. Again, we've got more availability during deliberations. Yes, I haven't closed the public hearing yet. I want to make sure that anything that wants to be part of the public hearing is in. Anyone?
I'll put an ad to what we've said tonight. I think this is one of the largest turnouts we've had, and I can probably reach back not just in months but years. It's totally cool. It inspires, I think, all of us to listen, and your input is a lot more valuable than us driving around in our cars and talking amongst ourselves and talking to our neighbors. So I encourage you to please keep coming. And then another thing that kind of struck me through many of the questions, just to kind of point out, and correct me if I'm technically inaccurate here, but the zoning part is land use. Think of it as what we're going to do on the land. A lot of people's questions were, what's the building going to look like? And that happens way down the road. After the planning for the land has been done, somebody's got to make an application to build something. So when you see those markers go up on the side of the road that says some kind of notice, that's when you really need to pay attention, because it's soon going to be built. And again, thanks for coming.
Appreciate that. Anyone else? All right. So just in summary, so what we've been doing during this public hearing is to hear your feedback on comprehensive plan land use map and zoning map amendments. We looked at 8 different amendment items and collected that feedback. We'll take that all into consideration in our deliberations. With that, we will close the public hearing at 8:16 is what I've got. And yes, thank you very much for coming. Even though it's difficult with a large room full of people, we so much appreciate you coming to share with us, because we really need that feedback. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wouldn't do it by accident. But
Carrie, right?
Yes, K-E-R-R-Y. Last name Bailey, B-A-I-L-A-Y.
Okay. And then what is your phone number?
Home phone is 888-1744.
Yeah, 1744.
Yeah, let me give you my work number too, because I seem to spend more time there. 888-2431. In a few minutes, we'll be able to push through.
About a slush.
Yeah, yeah. I have a dental office in the floodway now, so that you might recognize me. I'm a stock for an office. Yeah, yeah.
What we need to do is make sure those aren't awkwardly, because I know there are voting maps too. We just got to make sure those aren't mapping errors, really. They are.
All right, I'm gonna haul us back in the session here.
He wants to get us back.
If I was annexed in, not by my choice, would I still be able to have my farm out
here?
Even if it was in city limits.
Yeah, we allow farm animals in city limits. I'd have to look at the restrictions exactly, like how many chickens and what have you, but there is that.
I'd probably cite them to you, but
I have big animals, so.
I'm curious.
We're still allowed to have them.
Let me know about that. I was just curious how I ended up on the one side of it.
I know, very well.
So we all are.
Appreciate your time, guys.
Thank you. Lynn, we want to.
I'm going to move this now.
Folks, we'd like to push out a little bit so I can actually take a breath.
I'm going to blame over the commission that we're sitting in city meeting.
Jim, could you help shift the table a little bit that way? And I'm sure you have. Well, thank you. Appreciate the comments. Okay. Can I get the commissioner's attention here, and we'll move on?
Take care.
Would you like for a minute, Brian?
Go over there.
Another one down the hallway. All right. Pause. A few more minutes.
I've got about 42 head count.
Yeah?
About 42 head.
That gets us up to about, what, 20% of a couple of the hearings we've had, but about 95% more than the average?
I think we probably violated a few building codes tonight.
That's very true. That is very true. Hopefully it's you guys got an answer to that.
Dick, I was listening to the audio from the last meeting, and I don't know if your comment was specific to the Park Street chunk or just a general statement that you were talking about. Basically, down
so we're still recording,
and
so
no growth, and when you bring something positive, and I just thought, as I listened to you, I don't know why.
I stated that we were taking it
really the last 3 years. Water moratorium for mode 3-ish, right?
I've made no
right on
such
top of
comment
that.
At this time.
If we can get a recommendation of the Planning Commission tonight, that's ideal, because we need to get started on the analysis of our targets, our employment, and our growth forecasts.
That intersection is going
to
change.
To get there, we need to solidify what our land use
families are that have those happy intersections.
Still under that clock of trying to get to July 1st, June 2015 for the amendment.
There's got to be enough money coming to them to make sense of what they're going to do next. Yeah. And that's not here yet.
It's only 8 or 9 more chapters. See, this is month 12.
Sure.
We're on chapter 1.
Yeah.
And they don't know where to go.
Then. Yeah.
It's because Lynn wasn't here.
Right.
You know, that.
What are you going to do? Otherwise, no.
It's certainly going to stay further. That's
what they're doing. Make an also.
Because Lynn is not
making
yogurt almond?
Yogurt almond.
I'm struggling to remember.
I know I need.
All right. I see commissioners back in the room. Let's get our focus back. Agenda item number 5, Planning Commission deliberation and possible recommendation on comprehensive plan land use map and zoning map amendments coming out of the public hearing. What I'd like to do is we go to here, I'll turn it over obviously to staff to see, get a little of their input. But I'd like to just start with a very quick indication, not discussion at this point, but just indication if you're feeling that you're prepared to make a decision tonight on one or all of these ideas, so I just have a feel for where we're going to head.
Procedure.
Order. Okay.
Yeah. Are you looking to take items individually or as a group?
I am not at that point. I just wanted. I fully expect that commissioners have different questions about different items, and I'm open to whichever way you want to go. Right now, I just want
to answer your question. If we were to take items individually, I can make decisions on some tonight. If we were to take the package as a whole, no.
Gotcha. Thank you.
To further that same point, I would hate to get halfway through the easy ones tonight and have to start over again in our next meeting a month from now.
Gotcha. Yep, pretty much all the way around. Okay, well, that kind of leads us to how we want to go through. So with that, Mike, what's your goal?
Well, to get as far as we can go.
So I'll tie to that and say, Mike, guys, what is there some timeline we need to be paying attention to?
We do have a timeline, and it's not just
talk to me, Goose.
It's not just for the comp plan, but Don DeBerg is working on some stuff that he needs to do for public facility plan. He sent us an email. He's really needing us to nail down what our future population is.
And Don's with public works.
Yeah. To get there, we need to understand what our
sewer
questions are. What's that?
Is that a sewer question?
Yeah.
And water.
To arrive to our water.
Well, is that that's for all of this, right?
Yeah.
That's not one.
Anything that affects what our population forecast is. Predominantly residential is the big concern there, but also commercial because we do have employment forecasts as well.
So with that and based on kind of the nods that I got in direction, what I'd suggest is let's just go start again at the top. Let's take it one by one. Take the questions, see if we have any changes, and then let's vote them one by one. Is that amenable to everyone?
Yes.
All right.
Caveat?
You just can't.
I can't shut up. No, I shut up. And I was listening, too. I'm just thinking, as I look down this list, I'm wondering if maybe there are one or two of these that pop out that we actually might be able to vote on. Or are they all going to be? So maybe, Mr. Chair, if you could go down and kind of get a feel, are we ready? And we only deal with those right now. Then we actually accomplish something.
Well, I'm looking at it much the same way, but I'm just saying, number one, or if we stop there with long discussion, that's going to define whether we're going to get down the road.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So with that. So, amendment item number one, Park Street, HDR with the limited commercial overlay revised to downtown commercial.
I think that was a good call.
Yeah.
I think the committee was behind it. I think it worked. Makes sense even now.
I was surprised nobody spoke to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You said it down was here.
Yeah.
All right. So any further questions or input we need from staff, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve item number one, Park Street HDR with limited commercial overlay revised to DC.
And a second? Motion and a second. Any further deliberation?
I'll just add a point.
Yes, sir.
Maybe a discussion. I don't know.
Yep.
In each of these things that we're deciding on, I'm trusting, really I am, that there's some conversation about continuity, that the adjacent properties that we're making these changes aren't going to be thrown out the window. One that strikes me as just a question is the one on the, you call it the west side of Cedar, those lots. Or does this lot that stands out on the west side of Cedar?
The west side of Cedar is already in the downtown commercial zone.
That's why only that one's highlighted.
Okay. So I should see this as red, and I don't.
That's right.
Maps right behind you.
Okay, that's it. I circled it earlier, and that's why.
And also, just for the record, I'm not voting tonight unless I need to for a tiebreaker. So, with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Yeah, we got one abstention. Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Lucky abstains. All right, amendment number two, 4th Street, from neighborhood business revised to downtown commercial. Input?
Same realization, I think it's a good call in the plan process. The community seemed to be supportive of it. There wasn't anybody talking against it. I don't think it changes the thing. I think it's a good call.
Okay.
Same question of an odd lot that's not seeming to tie to this. Can somebody tell me why?
That is odd.
That one is this our office, and we left it as public facilities because it has a deed on the property that says you can only use it for public purposes. So that's kind of a protection to leave it that way.
Does that go with the land, like if the next buyer wants to do it?
Yeah, it does.
Would that be something that should the city surplus it, they would get that lifted from the deed?
Can we?
It used to be it was the old library that was donated to the city. It was donated with the
public.
That building would forever be a public.
So will that whole side of the street because of that?
No.
Think about it.
Well, we're actually getting redevelopment on that.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Okay. Thank you.
Good clarification. Nothing further. Can I get a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that amendment number two be approved as submitted.
Thank you.
Second.
A motion and a second. to approve amendment number 2, 4th Street Neighborhood Business, revised to downtown commercials. Anything further? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Amendment item number 3, Orchard Drive, 3 LDR parcels, revised to HDR. Questions? I have a motion.
The comment about bringing in some mixed use in this area was interesting. I thought anybody else pick up on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, question for staff. You talked about in HDR, there are some areas that do permit a downtown business with upper residential, but in this area it didn't, if I recall your comments.
Right.
So how can we apply that same overlay or criteria, whatever that instance is, to this these
could. At the last Planning Commission meeting, the Planning Commission considered that and felt that in this case, because it was down more of a residential street, you know, they didn't want to see that commercial use.
That actually kind of remains my question on that, is what would the access be to any business use that would be in that lower level? So, you know, are they going to, they're just because of the traffic flow in that area, it's not an easy parcel to have an in and out access. It further complicates an area that is already kind of scary at times.
Dick?
I don't favor commercial in there, but I understood there's a lot of multifamily in the area. Having a quick stop pickup not across that street might be handy, but I totally agree with Elizabeth in terms of access and parking, or just tie up that intersection most likely. You couldn't eat up enough land to put parking lots in these lots. They're not that, mm-hmm. not that big, so they'd be street parking at best, which would create an unnecessary bottleneck there. So I would say on that basis, I would support.
I don't know. If you're talking about more service-oriented business, wouldn't it go to serving the people in that area who would be more pedestrian-based than they would be traffic?
Where would it sell that people would get out of their cars to go buy a pack of cigarettes?
No, I'm saying the people that live in that area.
That's what I'm saying.
To. Yeah.
I'm saying they would.
If you're driving, you wouldn't you just keep going to QFC?
If it was deeper down and across the community center, it'd be great, but I think it's right on the edge of that highway there. I just think it's a safety issue.
There's a crosswalk right here.
Yes, well, and it's directly across from existing commercial, which has the services that seems rather adjacent. Good question.
Well, the type of businesses that work in there, you see them across the street. And again, we don't want to set up the businesses that are there to fail. And is there really a demand? The proximity to QFC, the little smoke shop, Subway, the gas station, if it's a little quick stop, they're all right there.
Did staff have any different input based on testimony?
Based on testimony? I don't think we received any negative testimony on that.
Just the one comment about splitting.
Well, staff was supportive of this change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
nothing's changed in your recommendation.
No, right across the street is also high density residential
yeah.
without an overlay or anything, so I think it's appropriate to cluster zone out of that.
Yeah. But I think we heard one property owner and a couple of neighbors come in and say, let's do it. Right? Did everybody else get that?
That's what I heard.
Good. I think once they realized that the gray was not being zoned out into some other use that satisfied their appearance. They didn't want that to happen. So,
okay. Well, good call. With that, can I
motion
get a
motion to approve?
Thank you. I've got a motion.
I'll second that.
I've got a second to approve amendment number 3, Orchard Drive, 3 LDR parcels revised to HDR. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions?
Just a clarification, who did provide the motion and the second on that?
Jim moved.
And I seconded.
Thanks.
Seconded. Thanks. Amendment number four, East North End Way, Ferguson Park to Thrasher, LDR revised to HDR with limited commercial overlay.
Dude, I don't know of any other good use for, if you go around, I'll just say this, around the country, if you think about parks that are functional parks where people actually use them, it's like there's probably 30% of the park users that can walk to the park. The rest of them kind of get there somehow, either by bus or by bike or whatever. And right now, we've got this little narrow driveway that people might learn about somehow. So if you put more density around the park, you'll have more people using the park. And right now, it's a crazy zone, so we should fix it. And the owner has been here 3 or 4 times now in the last 5 years asking us to fix it.
Well, and we have an additional change, which is we've got the cottage residential that's going in along the back, which is going to significantly change the feel of the neighborhood. And I think it's going to leave those single-family residences kind of the odd man out, because you've got the Forest Service across the street. Then you're going to have a cottage residential with the increased density to the back, the busyness of the road to the front. Well, I recognize that it was somewhat unpopular, but I think that for that space, that it makes sense to make that change.
If I'm hearing correct, you're in favor of it.
I'm in favor of it. Recognizing that it's not necessarily the most popular thing to do there, but exactly the fact that it's around that park as well, it makes sense to have that. I like the idea of people being able to walk. We don't have a lot of multifamily residential that will allow people to walk to services in the way. It's kind of a unique location for being able to do that.
Staff, Red Oak is one of those lots, right? To the west of the yellow hash mark. Is that a lot that's being used for some city vehicle storage? Is that a city lot?
Landscape. Landscape company?
It's a landscape company.
Landscape company, what's that? And then you have Red Oak right next to it. Then you've got Schwab's, and then the rest of the commercial that was part of that explosion, right? I'm trying to figure
beautiful
out.
Beautiful concrete path.
Yeah, who was the
skate park
concerned about value appreciation in the face of this
depreciation?
Yeah, the person. Yeah,
no, Greg,
quarter lot. Yeah. These quarter lots here. Yeah. This guy. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a slam dunk. In terms of the zone, the rezone.
Yeah, it's just that line of single-family residential.
It's
just
yeah.
Kind of...
I just, being new to this, I would agree. I think this seemed like a very common sense approach and a slam dunk as well. However, you know, the gentleman, Greg, who brought up the point that this has been proposed a number of times and been shot down. So why has it been shut down? Like, what are we missing, or what am I missing?
Well,
that
the council? Yeah. We get it to the city council, and then they do their thing. And
well,
they do it again.
Well. if I could give a little, I mean, from my perspective, to be corrected by staff, I'm sure I'll get kicked any second. But we did get this before us, and Mr. Torgerson did bring it to us. And he had made application for essentially what's before us tonight. I think there was some confusion created, though, in comments that he made both at the Planning Commission and the Council. And Council kind of stepped back and said, wait a minute, I think we need to look at this again, was more the reaction that I felt than there shouldn't be any change here. And that was the way that I felt having attended that Council meeting. But, again, staff has a different...
I concur with that, and I would just add that I think that the only voices that the council heard that night at the hearing was Mr. Roth and a few other of his neighbors in that neighborhood that were opposed to it, and they didn't necessarily hear the comments that, like what Mr. Torgerson gathered for this meeting, that may have an effect on their consideration in the future.
And then again, the reason that it officially is back in front of us is because Mr. Torgerson did make application and we chose to take it up.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And these are not all his lots.
No.
It's just three of them, I think, right?
Four of them are his, and one of them is Mr. String Fellows.
Yeah, who's submitting the letter.
Yeah.
Okay. Motion approved.
Second. Motion and second to approve item amendment number 4, East North Bend Way, Torgerson Park, to Thrasher, LDR revised to HDR with limited commercial overlay. The motion is by Jim, second by Gary. Any other? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Can we add a special note directed at
not once
you voted,
sir.
When I'll just ask staff to pass it on. If the commissioners and you guys disagree, please speak up. But I'd like to relay to the commission when this gets presented to them that we've deliberated on this three times and three times said, move forward. Let them know that we've been thinking about it because there's several commissioners or council members that probably didn't know about the first one or two.
Quite possible. Yep. Okay. Amendment item number 5, Southeast 140th, certain North Bend parcels revised to LDR.
No public comment.
Yeah, that's surprising.
This made a lot of sense. I think, Gary, you took this issue up and presented a great case. It's very compelling for me. Just, you know, bordering 140th as opposed to the opposite side. And, I mean, pretty much all of this is existing land use anyway. Just ensuring that.
I think we can say that we've previously heard from homeowners in this area asking us to do this as well. So we did get that input. I was getting surprised we didn't hear from.
When this neighborhood closes in to where you have the nice residential on both sides of 140, is that going to change the traffic use? Or is there going to be less commercial allowed on that? There's a lot of commercial, industrial traffic that goes down 140th. Will they be shut down for safety reasons?
No, that wouldn't affect traffic on 140th.
The type of traffic?
No, because that's a major street, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like a collector.
Well, there's plans that could, if things develop, could change 140th, like the overlay roads network and what have you. But this zoning won't change what's allowed on 140th to drive down.
I'm hoping that it would change the kind of traffic.
In other words,
it's going to become thoroughly a residential community using where a road system exists where you have heavy industrial traffic going down it.
But I think what you're hearing is that a zoning change alone does not change the traffic that can drive on the road. What Jen is referencing is there's an overlay in the commercial zone that if it was taken advantage of by the owners would bring some new streets in which would probably turn the truck traffic and they would not then continue to proceed down 140. But that's an entirely different situation and unknown that'll ever happen.
This area is also largely built out for the last 10 years, so what you see is kind of what you get. There's a few remaining vacant parcels within the area being considered, but other than that, it's developed as a single family.
I live there, and it still feels like it's a heavy industrial road. The homes that are gone in are far enough set back from that road system, but I'm just wondering if, as we recommend additional housing going on to the south side of 140, and we really have a pocket of residential land which calls to the fore, you know, school buses, kids crossing streets, all that. Is it likely that the street would be reclassified for certain uses? And certainly the speed limit reduced.
Can I ask this maybe of staff? When we get to our traffic plan, which I know you said we don't necessarily need to review it, if we had some specific things like designating truck routes or possibly reclassifying a street for capacity, that would go to where Dick is, I think, speaking to. Is that the correct place?
But a street otherwise is not classified based on use. It's classified based on access and overall trips.
This would, though, dictate closer to what you're hoping for, because what we're doing now is we're zoning these parcels to be more residential over time. So you won't have the change in land use. If somebody wanted, right now, if they wanted to take advantage of the more commercial zone and build something, you would then perpetuate that more commercial industrial feel of the road. Right now, what you're doing is now perpetuating the more residential feel of the road by solidifying the zone to residential. So you're making a step towards your goal in doing this.
Okay.
But it won't restrict a truck from driving down 140. Now, we like somebody said, we can do truck routes. And
I think a march on City Hall might change the use. But.
Yeah, that'd be neat. Let's get that one.
I think to what Gary suggested, I would suggest that when the transportation element comes up, bring this back.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Motion to approve the Southeast 140th Certain North Bend parcel is revised to low density residential.
I'll second that, please.
Got a motion and a second. Any further comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Amendment number 6, East North Bend Way, 4 parcels revised from neighborhood business to EP2. This is the properties immediately adjacent that we heard about.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any further comments? Got a motion and a second to approve change of East North Bend Way, 4 parcels revised from neighborhood business to EP2. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
You know, if you believe everything Tom Weber says, I think I have a deja vu at 95.
On the record.
I am at 95 years of age. That's quite a guy.
Amendment number 7. Between Southeast Cedar Falls Way and East North Bend Way, cottage residential revised to HDR.
Sorry, can I start this?
Yep.
Yeah. This is my... I feel like I had some... you know, soul left in the ground when we first got cottage housing conversation started. And ever since then, it's been this constant whittling away of the zone. This is a big whittle. It's more than half of what we have in the city. So there's got to be a better way other than just flipping it back to something that we already have. So I'm going to stay on that track where this conversation goes. I'm pretty committed to cottage housing. As a concept, I get that the economies haven't reached it yet. I get there's no smart builder in the land who's going to go have at it right now because it just doesn't pay the bill. But that doesn't mean it's not a viable concept. So,
and just to
that's
kind
my
of,
2 cents.
Just since you brought that up, we do have John Day building out his cottage product right now, and actually one of the gentlemen that did not speak, Pat Larkin, he's in the process of getting ready to submit a 40. Cottage product. So it is actually
in this zone.
Yes.
Yeah. If anybody's had a chance,
where's the cottage?
Where John Day's building?
John's building.
A Thrasher.
Yeah. On the back side of Torgerson Park, off of yep. Thrasher.
I'll take a look it up.
So back behind.
I frankly can't.
Coursers.
I don't recognize it as a. I need to see that. I'm sorry, Jim. I'm out of respect to you. I want to wait on that because I'd like to see what a cottage community is compared to a regular H.
There's not a lot of them out there.
Drive up to Snoqualmie Ridge, mm-hmm. And at the top of Snoqualmie Ridge, top of the parkway, you turn into what's the name of that street?
You're talking about phase 2?
Yeah, Jacobia. Go down Jacobia, turn in,
on
see
your right.
It on your right.
Is that on Jeannie Hansen Park side or the other side?
Other side.
That's A version of cottage house.
A version. That's the quadrant.
Yeah,
we won't mention any who actually
that
developed
that. Actually, the Baker Street cottages are probably more what you would see if you looked at cottage, which is on Baker Street in North or in Snoqualmie.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, got Jim, got Dick, Gary.
My only comment, I believe it's correct, HDR has 30% cottage land.
What's it? Cottage land. Not required.
No.
Allowable.
Allowable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Other way around.
Yeah, flip that.
HDR allows 30% cottage?
Cottage allows up to 30% HDR.
Cottage allows up to 30% HDR. Yeah. And HDR, I thought, permitted some cottage.
It permits
cottage. Well, I guess theoretically you could build it all cottage.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, okay. It still allows
but
cottage.
But the assumption is that it would likely go higher density.
Yeah.
Now I'll even throw another cottage just to... Here comes the wind. To me, cottage housing... I'm just going to go on here for a second. Cottage housing to me is not the place to find affordable housing. Just that's the first note I'm making about it. In my mind, it's not. It's the place where my mom and your dad and...
Careful.
You get it. Your uncle's father. How about that one? So those whole things. It's the culture of empty nester. They want nice finishes. They want a nice quality home. And they want to be able to walk to everything from the grocery store to the bus stop. And oh, by the way, their grandkids come visit. And there's kind of a community feel to the whole thing. Everything's connected by pathways or maybe a little garden space they share. Many of the buildings don't have a house and a garage. The car is parked maybe a little bit away from the living quarters. So it's a very different thing than most people drive around and think of a neighborhood, to me.
Elizabeth?
I suppose part of my concern, and it's something that maybe... better addressed by setbacks. Twofold. One, I have a concern that we don't have enough high density residential out here. If we want to attract businesses to the lovely business parks we have, we need to make sure that the people that work there have somewhere to live. And
sure.
They're normally not going to buy a house.
Yep.
Their apartment, they might be able to handle a condo, not going to be high end. And we're really not planning for that. My second concern with the cottage is probably very well defined by what we see on the ridge. It is exactly the kind of thing that is freaking people out about what we're seeing on Malone. That feeling.
Yeah.
Really tight, close together, very boxy, and I realize those are things that can be addressed in design standards. So I've got kind of two sides to what has me concerned about cottage residential. We're sort of experimenting with it now. Maybe when we see what happens in the area that's already under construction, that will give us a better idea of what North Bend style cottage residential is going to look like. It's also the fact it's on that main road. It makes sense for me around Torkeson because you have that easy access to the downtown core, access to parking in the park. This particular space is kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Can I ask? I'm a little confused because your comments seem oriented about a concern for the density, and the cottage residential is actually less dense than the proposal.
Why? It's a twofold. That area for cottage residential, I think we're going to have a similar feel to if we did a nice high density residential with appropriate setbacks. Because you're going to typically be talking about tighter buildings. They would be able to leave more of a buffer around them. With the cottage, I think it ends up sprawling a bit more. You have those pathways. There's a different feel that they're going for because it is higher end. And I think we also, with the high-density residential, there is a default of affordable housing as low-income housing that I think that you described the single person who likes to hike, who wants to live out in the valley. There's nothing that says that a high-density residential development in that area would not be a higher end intended to attract those single, or I think they call them the dinks, the dual income, no kids, who want to be out here, who want to live in the community, but don't want a house. So, again, my concern there for the cottage is an issue of what it's going to look like, and that it's not necessarily the best place for it, and that we could put high-density residential in that area in a way that would be attractive, that would Mel. And actually, I think the fact that it would probably, if done right, attract people that did not necessarily have children might not have the concern that we heard repeatedly of adding additional children to our school system. So, two different directions.
Yeah.
I like the idea of cottage, just not in that spot. And it requires a very defined area. You need to have that park nearby. And you just don't have that. You've got a major thoroughfare, a street that's already got pretty heavy traffic on it, and not really easy walking into the downtown area from that spot.
Yep, valid points.
Curtis?
I guess just speaking to the comments, you know, of the people who would be across from this this evening, as well as the comment of the landowner, I mean, I could certainly hear their concern, and depending on how it's developed, you know, the HDR could completely undermine, you know, those some of the highest end homes in the valley, or at least, you know, nicest neighborhoods. So, I don't know, I did like this idea before. I like what you have to say about, like, this area being maybe not the best for cottages, but therefore, I don't know, more people there. Correct me if I'm wrong, like, across the way, you have right-of-way issues with getting across this old railroad, right?
The Tanner, yeah, the old Tanner
railroad. I don't know if right-of-way is the right term.
The Soldier
Lincoln
Road.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so like you can't create driveways over that
right.
into this these buildings.
Currently, yeah.
Okay.
I think we'd want to maintain that with the trail connection, limiting
right.
the driveways. To
isn't crossing. The city buying that?
The city's intending to buy that, but right now if the railroad could sell to private if they chose to, which then the driveway could go.
Is it, the reason I bring that up is, you know, regardless of how we... what the decision is to address the concerns brought up by, you know, the owners across the way, you know, having some type of setback or buffer or something like that on this side would...
Oh, you're talking about on the Cedar Falls
Yeah, on
side.
The Cedar Falls. But that just doesn't seem very practical considering you can't get to it the other side.
But you can still have a buffer that would allow crossings for entries.
Okay. I mean, somebody brought up, you know, the mission statement tonight. That's a beautiful drive that has a very rural feel, you know, in our town, and it's one of the main arteries to it. Maintaining that would seem to be, you know, really important for maintaining that character, you know, which could be compromised with three-story apartment buildings going up and down there.
I think regardless of whether that's cottage or multifamily, though, you could consider performance standards when we get into more of the zoning regulations that could address preservation of trees and buffers and so forth.
Yeah.
Under either scenario, most of the trees are going to come down. So
right.
it's a matter of what do we do within performance standards that would address your what you're speaking to in regard to buffers or, you know, as Mike's saying, you know, other ways to help continue that green feel.
And is that what we're talking about tonight? I did not think so.
Well, there will be a change. If you do anything with that strip, it, no matter what you do, you can't. The big trees have to come down because they're going to come down now if they don't. And I think that there will be a totally visual feel on that side of the road.
Yeah.
But it also is the best location for high density because of the access. Ingress and egress, people who are leaving the valley to go to Issaquah or wherever to their work could access out to the main thoroughfare. This has the potential of becoming an unsightly Aurora Avenue also, where you have a lot of competition for who can build the most high density, you know, along that strip. So we have to find a way to control that in some way, because it could become pretty ugly in short order to have a mile and a half of high-density apartments, which is totally unlike this community. It'd be totally different. It's almost too bad we can't generate that kind of use in the downtown core, where we want to have population.
take a turn here, and I don't know if I've just grown denser. It occurred while I was absent. I don't recall how this one got generated. When did this come forward?
You.
Yes, sir. Do you have questions?
No, I was blanking out on when it was suggested.
My goal was this. I look at the main points in how you enter our city. There's exit 31, 32, 34 for the most part. 27 if you're going to the casino, right, or somewhere else up there. So 31 and 32 are pretty much the center of it all. And if Jim was to do his spear of downtown commercial, this is abutting pretty much that on the other side of the park. Okay? And so if we're going to limit growth on the Outer Banks, we're going to concentrate growth on the interior. I want to look at where I can plan growth that isn't in the floodplain or floodway. I want to look at growth that can get access to the interstate easily, but also access to trails. So if we have that trail to downtown, we have a way to get across to Mount Si easily. People love to run up, do a fitness run, come back down, go to work. You know, that's the kind of lifestyle that I think I heard from Travis that he would be, you know, part of a person attracted to that. I don't know about, you know, how to adjust the zone appropriately, but knowing that HDR can have some cottage in it gives a little bit of a balance and mix maybe to a feel of it. I also would strongly address the borders and buffers that I would like to see. I don't agree with anything less than a 30-foot and whatever our natural type 2 cedars that would be planted back there, which would give sufficient screening and offset any building that was there. So it would look a lot more pleasing than perhaps we've seen in other areas that would fit the North Bend rural zone.
You'd probably describe it more type 1.
And then I would prefer it to have downtown commercial. However, I agree today our commercial is not maxed out where we need to provide more. I think in 10 years' time we might revisit that.
You know, when we go to Wilderness Rim, once in a while I see some friends up there. What really affects me is the darkness of that neighborhood. They've really kept almost every tree they could possibly keep. And it was a good idea back in the day when they thought there weren't any trees left on the earth. But when you go back there now, you realize that it's really dark in there. They don't see the sun come up very well, and they don't see it set. It gets past the ridge and it's down, so they get about 4 hours of good light.
Well, it also has a heck of an impact on the moss growths on roofs.
Yeah. And so, I guess what I'm trying to say is that in this high-density concept, in this strip of land, I think we shouldn't be trying to keep as much trees as we can. We need the daylight. People who live in apartments tend to get a little claustrophobia if they can't look out the window. Mm-hmm. And I know. I'm just thinking that that's going to change the... That's going to really change the nature of that street by putting anything in there. But the thing to put in there is, in fact, high density, not single. It would be a misuse of land to put that to single, in my opinion.
I mean, what Mr. Boydson's parcels are right here, and he's talking about, I can't sell it as residential. The traffic is too intense here. So this is, you know, what, a quarter mile?
I guess the other question I have, we did not get any input from any of the owners of the parcels.
We did.
We did.
Yeah,
there was the barbershop guy.
Nathan, he spoke in favor.
And there was
Karski
a Mike
spoke in favor.
Karski, I think, that was also a parcel.
Also living there? I remember the one gentleman. Right.
No, the people who spoke of
Did we give any consideration to not applying the new zone to the entire current cottage residential?
If it were wider,
that would be good conversation.
And if
if I'm remembering correctly, isn't right at the tip of it, isn't there already something down that way?
Church.
Is it blue, the church?
No, it's across
the orange.
The orange.
Okay, that's what I thought. That big lot right there is the church, which is actually relatively recent construction. I don't think they're planning to go anywhere anytime soon.
The one question I had was to try and take whatever the restriction is on the southeast Mountside Road area to apply that to the other side of the road. And maybe so those 1, 2, 3, 4 lots there would be having that same restriction.
So we did hear from a couple of homeowners in Cedar Falls. One was a woman who...
In the forest home.
LaForest Homes.
Yeah, she was concerned about, you know, how Hofstede is really built out now and that the kids are coming in. You know, and to add more density, more children in the Hofstede system there would be untenable.
I might have one going there next year, and I understand this year it was down. So, you know, it goes in cycles.
Yeah. And we also just heard from Joel on the proposed bond that's going to be presented in a couple of weeks that may address a lot of the school issues. So, but I heard probably more negativity from the local people than positive about turning that strip of land into a high density use, even though that's probably the best use.
I'll share my end that I'm conflicted because, like Jim spoke to, I'm very supportive of cottage residential. I think it's a housing type that we do not have represented well in the city. And so losing the limited amount we have is been a concern of mine. But right along with it has been my concern for losing high density. And we also have made some recommendations for change that will reduce that as well. I'm excited to hear that we do have both the other parcel moving forward in Cottage, and that there's application apparently coming in for some cottage in the zone we're talking about. It's a tough one for me. That's why I'm kind of, I guess, asking about the notion of is there any logical method that would say maybe we would allow more high density closer to the core while preserving the cottage in the latter strip. Although I'll say that my overall gut tells me that with the cottage zone already allowing for a percentage of high density, it already to me feels like it's a pretty good zone.
I also want you guys to remember about 2 years ago, or maybe a year and maybe a couple years before that, there were two overlays that the Planning Commission recommended and the council approved, and it's the one to the north, call it Tanner, what is that one called?
Tanner Landing,
thank you. And in that zone, what we did is we allowed multifamily, higher density residential within the EP as an overlay. And the reason is that whole area is adjacent to the Tanner Landing Park, which is a perfect location for high density multifamily type townhome, condo, apartments, because you would have that recreational use right to the north.
Is that the old mill property?
Farm, yeah. On the north side of the North Midway.
What's his name? I'm forgetting his name right now. The tax attorney.
Dahlgren.
Dahlgren. Yeah, it's Mr. Dahlgren. He's owned it for many years. And then the hash lines to the south of North Midway that are kind of orange-yellow color, that also what we did there is we did an overlay there that would allow multifamily to be on the south side of that to kind of abut the residential that you see in yellow. So it was kind of like phasing or kind of creating in intensity ramp up as you went from the low density yellow parcels that you see into the overlay. So you guys actually have, even though you've kind of removed some multifamily options, tenancy options, you've actually added some in. Now it's about whether the market chooses, because those overlays kind of have a, you know, they got enough zone to allow the residential. We took away some of the uses we didn't think were appropriate, the heavier industrial. So now, but it could be market driven, because it could be either or type of thing.
So
but the opportunity there.
Just want to confirm, what you're saying is, what is EP1 where the overlay, that could all develop as multifamily HDR?
Not all.
Not all.
Not all. We allow a portion of it.
A portion towards the residential.
And no one's taken the bite in years.
No, we just did it.
1 year ago.
But I mean, the planning for it, we've been talking about that part.
Yeah.
So, a question, sort of a comment. Correct me if I'm wrong. Does everybody agree that cottage housing is less dense than high-density residential?
Not necessarily. Depends on how that high-density
residential is. What would factor it so that it could be as dense or more than high-density? How could you make that happen?
Depending on how they address their parking and their open space requirement for the units, you could have equivalent densities.
But not greater?
Equivalent density across the whole property?
Each chunk, right?
Well, you could conceivably go higher with high-density residential, but you could also see a typical garden apartment complex that has got a good amount of green space around it that could be the same density or even potentially less than the 10-unit per acre cottage zone.
Okay. But our building standards for cottage versus high-density is going to push back on that density, really, right? Setbacks, and you effectively reduce the density to two levels. First in the zone itself, and then in the building standards.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's right, because your height limits and your open space requirements, your design standards.
So if that's the baseline, if everybody agrees with that, then imagine over the next 7+ years, once cottage gets locked in, if it does, again, a developer, landowner, comes to us and says, I want to just pull out these 5 lots or these 6 lots, and I want to work some kind of variance. How difficult would that be to do?
I'm at a variance to what?
I'm trying to get in my own head how flexible what we're doing really is. A lot of people are concerned about high density. They don't want all the growth. I don't want the stuff right on the streets, the whole sense of that. Everybody's kind of speaking in negative terms. And I'm saying cottage kind of protects that a little bit versus other alternatives. And then in addition to that, between now and the next time this gets reviewed formally, 8 years from now, roughly, there's kind of a way to get around the particular zoning guidelines by the applicant making some requests of us, maybe, or city council to make a change for their particular lots that they're interested in doing. They could go to higher density by creating another overlay, for example. So there's a way to get to it. Tell me if I'm way off base.
Well, if you're talking about exceeding lot size requirements, that's pretty limited. You can do that in limited circumstances through what's called an administrative adjustments to standards, but that's not applied on a widespread basis.
Okay. If the economy got there, that might be a way to get to it 8 years from now.
8 years from now, I could go for another zoning change.
Right.
Well,
in between. Sure, yeah. It will. So I guess what I'm saying is I feel like I should point out that keeping the cottage zone is a no-lose versus going to high density or whatever the alternative might be that are changes. I think it's a win to keep it the way it is.
Okay. So, for where we are, everyone's got a chance to get some expressions out. Quick poll as far as are you prepared to move forward with this item tonight, or do you want to think and deliberate this further? Is there really more that you're going to learn or that you believe might change your mind that we should continue this item, or should we go ahead and take a vote?
I'd like to learn more about cottage.
I'm sorry?
I'd like to learn more about cottage.
Learn more?
Before I think about that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, you're there. Mm-hmm. Jim, you're ready. Hold. Gary?
More was ready to go.
Okay, so I've got a general consensus of I guess I should say this. I hear three willing to wait and think some more, two ready to vote. So you're more than welcome to
table
make a motion
until the next meeting that we can address this.
All right. So I've got a motion to table
second.
Item number 7, and a second on that. So, in favor of tabling till the next meeting.
Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? Okay, bring that one
back.
Gary second.
The two contacts I have is the cottage company and the cottage development on Baker Street.
Does John have a plan in?
I think what if you guys want, I mean, I think you need, what we need to do is probably talk about the cottage. What we'll do is send an email out that shows you where your cottage zone requirements are, so you can re-review those. Because if you recall, we updated those. Actually, we updated those, and then the council updated them in the committee.
Yeah, I don't think they'd come back for a briefing here.
So what we need to do is walk you through what those are, because, and we won't do that. So let's just plan on doing that next meeting.
But in the meantime, your drive that you're asking about, the staff would send out. So yes, so here's how you found Baker Street Cottages.
Here's the only problem I want to say with that is that once you see the regulations, you'll see find a like.
No.
It's hard to find something that will be comparable to what could be done.
Moving on then, last item is number 8, certain LDR parcels in floodplain of the South Fork Snoqualmie River to new constrained residential zone, half-acre lot size. Elizabeth, I remember you kind of proposed this one, so you want to lead off?
Well, I think that it was intended both to reflect the reality of that area, and to address the issue of the too much construction in that particular area. There's a lot that's going to be coming down the pipeline. I think that we'll see those reports come from King County in the next couple months. I think they're supposed to be doing another public hearing in January or February. I haven't seen the notice go out yet. That will affect that area all the way through North Bend. But the most important thing was to, because of sensitive areas, it's really just reflecting so that when someone looks at the zoning map, they have an idea of what is actually possible in that area.
Curtis, let's go to you first.
I guess I was surprised. I didn't realize that this actually won't really apply until it's annexed. And it certainly seemed to make practical sense considering that. I did hear a lot of opposition from landowners. I mean, their opposition was they don't want to be a part of the city.
Right.
Okay, then, it's kind of a moot point. They have a consensus.
I think it has the effect of having, as our job is to push the density further away from this area, rather than trying to. I like the idea about low density, half acre lots in an area that has already got water conditions and such.
Yeah.
And that also allows us to be thinking more about higher density away from that watered, that floodplain zone.
Yeah.
So it's a good concept not to be thinking about HDRs in here, things like that. Lower density for sure.
Okay. Jim?
I honestly hadn't had time to really study this. I wonder if, to your point, if we're talking about flood hazard areas and setbacks from the river and riparian rights, all that sort of thing, is it solved already, or do we need to do something about it?
In many respects, it's solved. One of the things here is that my understanding is that for them to develop any of these areas right now, assuming that they have part of the property that's not floodway, that King County has a larger lot size requirement for them. So if we were to reach a point, or if there were property owners that wanted to be able to develop these lots, their best chance is to move them into the city where they would, in fact, it would be in some respects a down zone for them if they moved into the city and could do the half acre lot size.
An upzone.
It's an upzone.
An upzone, sorry. Went the wrong way.
Gotcha.
So moving into the city would actually help them. It's an improvement over what they can do with the property right now. This is a way for us to reflect that, so that when someone looks at this map, they, one, we're not going to do the tighter, I guess, so that when someone looks at the zoning map, because I know I heard a lot of people say that when we look at that, we think we can do 4 per acre, is to properly represent when someone looks at this map, what could you do in that area? So that when they see it, they know.
Clarification. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Gary?
So what I need is some clarification on why we highlighted these lots, because I'm confused when I look at what the floodway is on this and that map and why we only did a portion of it. And I look at some of the lots which are in the, not the floodway, but the flood area, the floodplain in blue, which are also highlighted. So I'm just needing some clarification of why?
Yeah, we tried to use the floodplain as a guiding principle, but then you, when it doesn't make sense, you know, it's crossing some boundary at an askew angle or something, you then just try to lump in what makes sense, bringing it out to a street or to a property line that borders a number of properties.
Yeah. So for instance, Brookside Acres, which is a build-out plat in there, correct? And, you know, one of the questions that I had when this came up was, you know, did this effectively change down zone any of those, and all of those properties, as I understand it, are at least a half acre or larger, and my own knowledge of it is that they are as well. So that felt comfortable. It made sense to keep the neighborhood together.
Yeah.
And then the floodway, you can't build in the floodway at all.
Yeah. So it's not really about the pink, it's really about blue.
Yeah.
So we didn't go further north. Is there a reason?
Yeah, we considered that Shamrock Park neighborhood to the north. Mm-hmm. Either Shamrock Park or Berry Estates, one of those two.
Berry Estates is the first one.
Just recognizing the small lot sizes there, and that it's so adjacent to a lot of commercial uses in the Safeway, it made more sense that would be a higher density.
Do we get sufficient river relief with this area that's highlighted that it would lessen the impact on the ones that we did not, I guess?
Well, that's a geomorphology study, but any time that you're putting less development in the floodplain, it's
fine. Finally, Mike doesn't have an answer.
That's what you spent years trying to get to that point.
If you really want to hear the answer, listen out for King County to make their announcement about their next public hearing, because they have all the scientists coming out and talking about exactly that point.
Yep. I'd love to be that key.
So with that, are we ready for motion on this?
I'd ask another question because you brought it up twice. The King County determinations that are coming, would that, you think that potentially would affect what you proposed?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it has any impact.
Okay.
But what they're talking about is what they're going to do to affect this area all the way through Circle River Ranch. And what I mentioned before is that a lot of their concern is about potential overtopping of I-90 in a 100-year event and damage that could occur. And that does affect a number of these properties through here because of their concerns about those specific properties. Is it going to change anything? No. Most of the constraints are already there, so no, it doesn't affect them. But there will be this map will look clearer. And it'll matter even less, basically, once they do their thing. Yeah.
So a final note, just your opinion. If you were one of these landowners, just generally across the board, how will they perceive this change?
It has really no impact on them. These are the areas, they're already constrained by the floodways on the properties, the larger ones that particularly they're closer to the river.
You're going to see it as a restriction on their land on top of everything else.
They're already mad enough at the National Flood Insurance Program for that map. This is more recognizing the reality of that map and what it means.
Well, this is also the public hearing tonight where you have the opportunity to hear from them.
Right. And as you pointed out before, right now their zoning is 1 acre parcels.
This remains an up. It remains an up zone for their current.
Yeah.
It is a down zone for the existing cities in in the UGA.
Yeah. And I think that the vast majority of those we've heard pretty clearly have no interest at this particular point in time in becoming part of the city.
Mm-hmm. So if someone who's there now who's less than half an acre, how does it affect them?
Grandfather.
Okay. And I don't know that there are many of them that actually fall within that. That are buildable in any case.
That's catch 22, right?
I move that we approve it.
Motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Got a,
one point.
Excuse me. So I read the motion. So a motion to approve Amendment Number 8, certain LDR parcels in floodplain of the South Fork Snoqualmie River to new constrained residential zoning, half-acre lot size. Question.
1 point for staff to clarify Mr. Bailey's lot before making the final packet for staff. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Agreed. Any further questions? Deliberation? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Okay, that leaves us carrying over item number 7. And other than that, you're off and running. That concludes agenda item number 5. Before we get to adjournment, I want to see if anyone else has anything. I have one question.
I have a question. Just, I don't know if this has been done yet, but now that we are pretty honed in on some of the changes we've recommended, do we have a capacity analysis to know what our growth can be then for the next 10 years?
That's the very next step, because we needed this to be able to determine that.
That's why Mike was pushing.
Yep.
is it fair to say the cottage housing conversation that's been tabled really doesn't change that much?
Okay.
It changes it quite a bit, but... Because
that's why I was asking sort of the density question, number of lot, number of
units. Well, you still could conceivably go higher with multifamily.
You could have more
basically
people.
Basically, cottage is restricted at 10 views per acre, and if you did the max density of HDR, it actually gets you almost up to 17. That's hard.
With 7 out of 8 issues decided, is there any reason that staff is not going to be able to look at that in an either-or situation and get the numbers you need?
Well, we're going to get the numbers on everything except for that stretch.
No, we can do it.
Well, I'm saying
either-or.
Yeah. Either-or, yeah. You've got your answer for us.
But it won't be, you know, your capacity analysis we'll see.
Posing the question.
That's okay. A problem.
My question was, I noticed, is the street, I don't know the name of the street, it runs behind the businesses on North Bend Way toward the railroad tracks. It's a public street. Is that McClellan?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
The parking that is on McClellan, is that public parking? Does the city allow or give permits to businesses to sign any of those areas for specific businesses?
Hmm. I think we do.
So that if there were a sign along there specifying a particular business, it would be in violation of the city code.
I know there's a few there, and I don't know if I'd have to look if there's ever been any history. Since I've been here, and I don't think Mike has any recollection. We don't know of anything, but before we say yay or nay, we should probably
So I would ask you to look into that. I've seen this in other cities where businesses start that practice, and it gets very ugly very quickly. So I noticed one. I'm not going to call out the business, but I noticed one. I think it's a great business, but it gave me concern since I felt it was public property.
Hail to the entrepreneur.
Anything else for the good of the order?
What's our next meeting?
January
8th.
Is that?
January 8th. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Got a motion to second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Cheney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for a wonderful meeting.
Audience.
purely pre-lead.
Yeah.